gentlemen, and welcome to another Dystiotic Confusion Thursday Night Hangout.
Are you sure it's Thursday?
Gotta hope so. If not, this is gonna be weird.
What if it's Friday or Wednesday and we're just doing an extra show?
Okay, so if it was Friday, I would be eating pizza and watching a movie. So I know it's on Friday.
But is this a movie that we're seeing on the screen of ourselves?
No. The kids would be watching a movie that myself, my wife, or one of the kids has picked out.
Ah.
Or on a rare occasion, we just put a bunch of Blu-rays on the floor, and then we figure out which one to watch by. The dog will sniff one. Or one of the dogs will sniff one.
So do y'all know what you're watching tomorrow yet?
Not a damn clue.
Do you ever, like, just for funsies, throw in, like, one of, like, your adult shows?
No.
Does this, yeah,
no, but I try to educate by throwing some Studio Ghibli in there from time to time.
Ooh. Does he ever get picked?
Well, when it's my turn, yeah. We've watched Castle in the Sky, Howl's Moving Castle, Kiki's Delivery Service. That's actually one of their favorite Studio Ghibli movies. We have not done Spirited Away yet. We definitely have not done Princess Mononoke, because that would give them, well, it'd give them both nightmares. And there's some other stuff, like, it's more...
No, that's fine. It teaches them young that your dreams are not always what you think they'll be.
Porco Grosso, which is a fun one, too. Anyway, so, and then, of course, it can't be Wednesday because my kids then come home with tennis rackets in their book bag because they both play tennis on Wednesdays.
Unless they forgot both of them.
No, believe me, they would not allow us to forget the tennis rackets. So anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this is Thursday, and I am your host, Charlie, and I'm joined once again by the prolific comer himself, Azealis.
Greetings.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is, of course, the Thursday Night Hangout. This is a show for you, by you. You give us the topics, or suggest some topics, or maybe an angle to the topics that we present to you, mostly on Discord. Now, of course, if you want to join the Discord channel, all you have to do, if you're on Twitch, is hit the !Discord, which I think if you were to click right now, or type right now, Zelius, I think... Oh, wait, hold on. You actually have to be in the chat room window. My bad. Hopefully that appears on everyone's screen. If it doesn't, all you gotta do is hit us up through one of our many social media platforms.
We're everywhere.
We got Twitter, we got Facebook, we got Instagram, we got the YouTube, we of course got the Twitch.
And a P.O. box.
Yes.
For asynchronous box. Communication.
Indeed. If you want to do snail mail, you know, kind of like knight to rook 5, we could do that too.
Ooh, play chess via postal mail.
That used to be like the hardcore thing to do, man.
Yeah, it sounds like way too much work.
Well, that was when, you know, long distance phone calls were, what's up? You totally don't have Twitch stop capping?
Stop capping.
Right?
I don't know what that actually means.
You have to understand, in my elder age, I don't remember what anything means. I just push the play button.
And the record button.
Record.
Stop lying-ish. Well, you understand that there comes a time and a place where a lie is only a lie in the eye of the beholder.
Wouldn't it actually be a lie to the person outside the beholder? Because to me, it's the truth, so I'm actually lying to you.
No. You think it's the truth. I know it's not the truth.
No, the eye of the beholder is the one who says it. Like, I am the holder of it.
No. The eye of the beholder,
the one
beholding what I'm saying.
No, I behold everything that's truth because I'm saying it.
Oh, for the love of God. That's... No. Mm. No. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, this, of course, is the Thursday Night Hangout. If you have any comments, if you want to add to the conversation, or maybe some topics that you thought of after the show has started, please drop them in the message window, and we will get to them as soon as we can. All right, so let's start off with a real easy softball, shall we? I have to do this because I'm so freaking excited. Netflix has shown their first trailer for a series called Lock and Key. Lock and Key was there was supposed to be a TV series called Lock and Key that was, I think FX had it, and basically they showed Lock and Key and American Horror Story at the same time. And they're like, you know what? American Horror Story allows us to really go our own way. So we're not going to do Lock and Key. And I'm so freaking excited.
What is so cool? Okay, I get that there's like some over Lock and Key. For the uneducated plebs like myself, please explain why that's so exciting. Because I don't get it.
It's easier for me to show than tell.
Oh. Give me a second. You're going to show and tell now?
Yep.
Do you have a movie of it? Oh, it's an anime. Or manga, or, oh.
Graphic novel.
I did not know this. Okay, that explains a lot. That's like content to go on.
It's a graphic novel, ladies and gentlemen. And this is basically, there's this house that this family moves into. And there's a bunch of doors there that have different locks. And then there's keys that go to different locks as well. And I have to say, and these keys could do some crazy ass shit.
That's one of those things where it's basically ends up that they're like haunted houses or the equivalent thereof. Is it usually bad stuff or could it be good stuff too?
It's a mixed bag. Depends on who's doing what.
I mean, at some point, couldn't you just like move?
Sorry, I had to get the glare out.
If it's that bad, like...
Oh, so that's how they got the game. Yeah, it's...
Just get a new house.
No. This is... I think it's like...
Or is it like different characters in every book?
No. It's the same family. Lock and key.
I mean, at some point, I'd move. I'm just saying to like haunted house.
No, it's not a haunted house. The house is just fine unless you go through certain doors.
Tomato, tomato.
And some of these doors you can't open without the right key, and the keys are hidden or lost. So it's not like you're going to accidentally stumble into something that's going to cause you to, I don't know. They showed it in the...
But you don't know what's behind the door, so you don't actually know what you're walking into, right?
Well, that's the fun part about it, is you figure it out so that you can do it from then on. There's a room that's shown off in the trailer that has a skull on it, and you use the skull key, and when you walk through there, your spirit gets separated from your body, and then you can travel wherever you want to.
Hmm.
And then your spirit has to go back through that doorway in order to re-inhabit the body.
If it doesn't, you die.
Well,
there's always a cost.
No, your spirit's still there, so technically...
Could that be the key to immortality?
How about possession? Saying that you're the only spirit on that side of the door?
Or could you go into a different body?
Hmm. Well, that's the same thing as possession. Anyways, so I am so freaking excited about this.
So how are the graphic novels?
Oh, they're amazing. I ate them up. There are six in total. The artist is a guy by the name of Gabriel Rodriguez, and the author of the series is a gentleman by the name of Joe Hill. Joe Hill may or may not be a very recognizable name.
Not to me.
Joe Hill is not his real name.
Oh. Does he have a real name?
Yes, he does. And I might have to look it up online because I don't think it actually has.
So that's his pen name?
Yes, it's his pen name. So I am going to, here.
We must know who it is.
Just type in Joe Hill. And I'll tell you his real name. His real name is Joseph Hillstrom King. Better known as Stephen King's son.
That's to say, that probably has a reason that he's using a pen name then.
Yes. But, and the thing is, he does follow in his father's footsteps.
But he can actually write, then, it sounds like. So
oh, God, yes.
Good.
Yeah. Lock
it's not like
key,
he's
phenomenal.
Just getting it because of nepotism.
No. No.
Doesn't
Lock
hurt.
Key but is he phenomenal. The other one that immediately comes to mind is a book called Horns, which is actually made into a movie starring Daniel Radcliffe.
Which I hear is totally batshit crazy insane.
Oh, well, I mean, the whole, yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
If you're into batshit crazy.
Who isn't?
I don't know.
Well, everyone needs a little batshit craziness in life.
Mm. Speaking of batshit, have you watched frickin' Witcher yet?
No, I have not. I have not had time. The vast majority of time that I get to watch stuff
tomorrow
is...
night, Witcher.
I will.
Boys, you're getting some adult education.
No, Jesus. I would like to live through tomorrow.
That's not my problem.
Whatever. So, yes, I have not watched that. I still haven't watched The Mandalorian. However, I don't have DC Plus, so that makes it a little bit
I don't care about
more difficult.
Mandalorian.
But speaking of Netflix or TV shows, something cool that I found online was that one of the directors of Netflix's Dark Crystal, the series, literally, apparently, it was really, really hot in wherever the studio was. And so shit caught on fire. And the firefighters are starting to put stuff, like, trying to put stuff out. And they're like, dude, what the hell is going on? And the director's like, oh my God, they've got all of these puppets. So he saved. Does it say how many he saved? I mean, he saved a ton. And he literally was, with security guards' help, he was able to save some 40 puppets. Gelflings, Podlings, Aurigs, and every single Skeksis.
A wet Skeksis, by the way, weighs about 200 pounds.
Yes. So, I mean, that's
That's kind of
impressive. Dedication, you know? I mean, that's what you want
to
see. I mean, that's what you definitely want to see. You know, if you're passionate and invested in something, you want to make sure that it gets saved.
Have you saved a puppet today?
I have not saved a puppet today. However, I did watch the entire first season of the Dark Crystal Netflix show. And I have to admit that CG has a lot of awesomeness, but the puppets, man.
So the puppets are CG'd?
No, they're not. They're actual puppets.
So it's actual puppets, but the background's like CG?
No.
I've not seen it.
No, I'm just saying, when you compare like what you could do with CG versus the puppets, still knock it out of the effing park in comparison. Well, I mean, it's also, you know, what kind of CG budget you have. Because, you know, you could end up with, was it Scorpion King? It wasn't actually Scorpion King. It was the Mummy movie that introduced the Scorpion King.
Which Scorpion King are we talking? There's like eight of them.
No, I'm talking about Mummy number two.
I think it's the Mummy Returns.
Mummy Returns, where you see like some
kind of
rock.
The CG was terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it was absolutely
versus a puppet, like, you know, like.
But the actual Scorpion King was a great rock movie.
Well, of course.
It was a classic popcorn flick of him just having large pecs and beating people up with swords. What could go wrong?
Rock is rock, man. Rock is rock.
The rock rocks the sword.
All right, so let's change tunes a little bit. Let's actually go into a little bit of gaming news, shall we? For those of you out there who don't know, there's this humongous conglomerate company that's basically trying to save... quotation marks here, save some of the very popular yet maybe not succeeding totally gaming companies around the world. Riot Games, of course, is at the top of the list. But it turns out that
to save Riot Games? Or
yeah.
I didn't know Riot Games was in need of saving.
Well, you see, what you do is you partner with a bigger company and they give you a lot of financial support so you can do what you continue to do.
You just have to sell your soul in future decisions.
Yeah, so what you do is you sell everything or a controlling stake in your company to a Chinese company called Tencent.
Ah, yes, Tencent is taking over the world.
Yes, so Tencent just got Platinum Games, which is the developer behind Bayonetta.
Have you ever noticed how many movies now are actually produced by Tencent?
Yeah, it's scary. Lot. It is scary. It really is scary.
Just watch your movies on the rolling credits at the beginning, and you'll notice Tencent is popping up everywhere now. They're backed by China, and they want to take over commercialism as we know it.
Yes. I'm trying to remember all the games that Platinum Games has. So
Bayonetta is a big one, obviously.
Well, yeah, of course. But I'm trying to see what
Babylon's Falls, apparently, which I don't actually
I think
know
that I don't think that's come out
oh,
yet.
Oh, wait, they made Noir Automata, or however you pronounce it. I didn't know that.
Lost Order.
I never played it, but I've heard it's phenomenal.
Star Fox Zero, Metal Gear Rising, Mad World, Infinite Space.
I remember Mad World. That was a fun game.
Yeah, that was weird.
I like the art style.
On
their website.
What was the Bayonetta 3? And I've seen Astral Chain. I've never played it, but I've seen Astral Chain on a couple different things. But anyways, so they are the latest company to join Tencent. Tencent.
There's a C in there, yeah.
Which, let's see here. It's a multinational conglomerate holding company founded in 1998. Let's go with video games here. Jesus almighty. That is insane.
Like, they should just have, like, a list somewhere, you think.
In March of 2018, Tencent acquired a 5% stake in Ubisoft. In 2018, they also acquired a major stake of the New Zealand company, Grinding Gear Games.
Oh, Path of Exile.
March 2018, they became the largest video game company in the world. They wholly or partly own game companies, Riot Games, 100% of it, Supercells, 84%, Grinding Gears, 80%, Epic Games, 40%, Glue Mobile, 14.4%, Blue Hole, 11.5%, and Activision Blizzard, 5%, Paradox Interactive, 5%, Ubisoft, 5%, and Miniclip, undisclosed majority stake.
Huh. Yep, they want to take it all over, man.
They own everyone's soul.
Your soul shall be mine.
So, I mean, it makes sense in some regards.
Well, for them, it makes sense. Because of your stability. Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, it's kind of... You know, it's kind of like, it's a monopoly, but it's not a monopoly. But it is a monopoly, but it's not a monopoly.
Well, it's also a non-American monopoly, so it's even who knows what's going to happen.
Oh, right. Like, yeah. What? I mean, you got all these, like, antitrust stuff that, or monopoly stuff that happens, anti-monopoly stuff that happens in the U.S., but you can't control Tencent.
Not lately.
What?
There hasn't been a whole lot of like Microsoft years ago.
Google?
Well,
Amazon?
They're being investigated.
Google and Amazon?
See if anything happens.
It's not. They pay too well.
It depends who gets paid the most money out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyways, you know, like I said, it's kind of sad that everyone's basically having to throw themselves at the feet of Tencent.
But then you always have some new developer who comes up out of the woodwork. I mean, Platinum Games had to start somewhere, right? So you have so many avenues of deploying your game now. I mean, you have the Steam, which basically anybody can really do. You can get your games on the Xbox and PlayStation much easier than you used to be able to. So you have a lot of different ways to make your name known than you used to.
But at the same time, that means a lot of people know how to put their crap on every single platform. So it gets...
Well, yeah, it's especially like on Steam and iOS. That's also the other issue. So you have to deal with a lot of crapware and hope people wade through the muck to see your game. And that is one of the big advantages of having the backing of a company like a Tencent is, let's be honest, it's advertising.
True.
You can make the most, you know, Charlie's Harped our number time. You can make the most phenomenal game ever. But unless you have a way to get people to know about your game outside of your circle of friends, then nobody's going to ever know about it.
Now, my question is, you know, when you have 100% of the ownership of a company, how much freedom do those companies have? Like, okay, Riot Games, they're 100%. They've got 100% of Riot Games. So can they put their foot down and say, hey, Riot Games, you're going to do this or you're not going to do
that? Well, I know one place where it's come up was there was controversy over them banning people for talking about Beijing in the chat rooms.
Beijing. Hong Kong.
Or sorry, Hong Kong. I was like, that's not right.
Yeah.
When they were talking about Hong Kong with the whole China and protest and all that, that was also a hotbed on Path of Exile.
And on Hearthstone.
Yep. So, well, just in context of Tencent here, where they own a majority stake.
Well, Tencent owns some of Activision Blizzard.
5%.
That's why I brought up. Right, but still, that when a professional Hearthstone player mm-hmm. basically wore a gas mask and said, freedom to Hong Kong, he got, like, permabanned, and the two hosts that were hosting the stream also got fired.
I didn't really think that was a Tencent thing so much as it was wanting to keep your market in China open.
Well, yeah, of course, but I'm just saying...
Regardless of Tencent.
Tencent is a Chinese company. I'm not saying that because of Tencent. I'm just saying that there is still a connection because they are...
Because that's where Blizzard wants to make their mark with all their games, is China, because they have lots of people.
Anyone and everyone wants to be able to still do stuff in China. I mean, that's why the NBA is basically bending over backwards for any and all Chinese people. God forbid the NBA says anything bad about China.
They want to keep that money. Well, they said something slightly bad, and you saw what happened to the Rockets. They started burning jerseys and other stuff. So.
And banning all, like, Rocket...
paraphernalia and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's a serious thing.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the moral of the story is do not ever, ever, ever post your true opinions online. Because someone's going to get pissed off, and there's going to be $1 million loss in some way that's you don't even know about.
Unless you're us and you don't have $1 million to lose, and then you're fine.
That's why, well, technically, we still could get nailed for $1 million, but we wouldn't be able to pay it.
Yep, I would just, yeah. I'd be like, here's my life savings of a coffee mug. Here you go. This is what I got for you.
Well, shit, I actually...
Ooh, you have to say your Funko Pops, I'm sorry.
I can't.
I'm sorry, man.
I'd figure something out.
That'd be your collateral.
Yeah, Funko Pops. It's the most expensive thing I've got.
What is a human worth?
Depends on the human.
It depends on their liver.
Still depends on the human. The liver could be spotless, but if the human's a jackass, then I'm going to sell him for bottom dollar.
Well, no, I would still take a good liver for top money, regardless of the person.
I don't know. There'd be some weird-ass taint to it. I'm just saying. I'm, you know, speaking out loud here, I'm sure I'm going to have, like, people screaming at me, well, I have a good liver, and I'm a dick to everyone.
I would like to think the liver is independent of a person's personality or soul.
It's a topic for another day. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, let's keep the discussion going in the gaming realm. I was perusing my Nintendo Switch marketplace the other day, and it's been a hell of a long time since I actually grabbed my Switch. It had to be before Christmas.
Ooh, that is.
And I was looking through the store, and I ran upon a game called Blackmoor 2. Now, Blackmoor 2 was like really weird for me, because it was like I've heard the name and was itchy, you know, it's like an itchy sensation in the back of my head, like I should know this but I don't remember it. And it turns out that Blackmoor, spelled exactly Blackmoor, is a Dungeons and Dragons setting that was created by a gentleman by the name of Dave Arneson. I fully support that he is the creator of Dungeons and Dragons. A lot of people would say that Gary Gygax is, or that Gygax and Arneson made it, but we're not going to get into semantics here.
Let's get into a nerd fight.
So anyways, so Arneson comes out with this setting called Blackmoor. Blackmoor, of course, Dungeons and Dragons, now owned by Wizards of the Coast. And I think it was like the early 2000s, Dave Arneson, along with another gentleman, reached out to Wizards of the Coast and asked for permission to utilize that IP. And, of course, Wizards of the Coast gave it to him because it's Dave Arneson. I mean, he made Blackmoor. So I'm like, well, yeah, sure. As long as you keep us in the deal. So Zygist Games has the right to create Blackmoor.
Is that Dave Arneson's company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was part of the company, yes. Now, of course, unfortunately, Dave is dead. He died a while back, and it was great that I got to see him. I got to have him as a teacher. The class I actually took with him was Rules of the Game, which makes a shit ton of sense, since he basically built Dungeons and Dragons.
He built the game.
So,
he built the rules.
But anyways, so, you know, I'm going, okay, Blackmoor. Okay, I know that they have the ability to you know, do whatever the hell they want to. But then I was like, but I saw Blackmoor on the Nintendo Switch store, and it's by a company called Four Fats. Right? Yeah, Four Fats. F-O-U-R space F-A-T-S.
Interesting name.
Yes, it is. And I was very confused. I was like, wait.
It's like, the complex carbohydrates.
But I was like, okay, so are they working with Zygist Games? And I finally got some clarification.
Oh.
From the gentleman who founded the company with Dave. They own the RPG books that Dave, basically all the RPG books that were created after getting permission from Wizards of the Coast.
Gotcha.
For the IP. All the books that were created from then on, they have the rights to. Wizards of the Coast own the Blackmoor IP and trademark.
Yep, makes sense.
So, there's still a mystery here, because I cannot find a connection between Four Fats and Wizards of the Coast. So,
now, is the game actually...
It's an RPG.
So, it is
in the... And it's got a dungeon builder in it.
Okay, it's not just happenstance that it's the same name. It's clearly...
It's basically the same font.
Okay, that's what I was... it could have just been like, there's a band I like. Like, there's a band I like called Blackmoor's Night. Mm-hmm. Has absolutely nothing to do with this. It's just like they like the name Blackmoor's Night.
Right.
That's what I was wondering. Maybe this is a case where it just happened to be the same name, but clearly not.
No, I mean, I don't know like all the legalities and all that stuff. But to be honest with you, and this would be kind of funny if it went all the way around. I think Four Fats is actually a Chinese company.
Well, look at the font under Four Fats.
I know, but I can't. Yes. It doesn't give me.
So what do you wait? It's a Weebly site? Yeah, it's a free Weebly site, too. Mm-hmm. That's kind of actually funny.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the team.
So they're not actually willing to pay for a website for a game that's on the Switch. Huh.
So, well, actually, it's a game that's on the Switch and also on the iOS and Android store.
I kind of feel like if they're a company who has to create a free website in Weebly, they probably don't have a licensing deal. That's just my gut feeling.
Probably were hoping that no one would be able to put the two together.
That's just kind of what I'm thinking.
I mean, okay, so hold on. Let me open this thing again. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you won't be able to see it, but Zelius will be able to see it.
I can see it in all its glory.
And we're gonna look at that logo, okay?
Oh, it's on the App Store.
And then we're gonna type in Blackmore here, and we're gonna go no
to the Barn Kitchen.
No, not the Barn Kitchen.
Damn it!
All right, so
I would say it's different enough.
That's an old image, but still.
And the O has like a sword in it, man.
That's not a sword. That's like, I think that's a spike ball. But anyways,
it's different.
It's interesting because last week we were talking about, you know, fan projects and who controls the IPs. And then here comes this game that has an RPG name that has a lot of like the characteristics of what would be like a Dungeons & Dragons like module.
Well, a big one is, remember way back, probably about 15, 20 years ago, we played a game called Mordor.
Yeah, buddy.
Remember that one? And I mean, the game was set in the world. And like,
I still have it somewhere.
Nice. And that's one of the games, though, where the Tolkien estate came after. They're like, yeah, that name's not going to fly.
That's why they changed it, the name. Mordor's 2, then Infinite Realms to, oh, man, what was the other one? Because the last one, you could actually, if you moved fast enough, you can actually get like a stake in it. Let's see here. No, I'm talking about, oh, for love of God.
It was like Mordor Depths of Something, I think, was like the name of it.
Yes, Depths of, no, not Shadows of Mordor.
The problem is like now you got all these other Mordor games that is trying to like show you.
I just put Infinite Realms in.
Infinite Warfare Mordor 2.
No. I'll have to find it. But anyways, it was... Yeah, I mean, it was a great game. I loved, actually, Mordor 2 before they had to change it, because it was, you know, it was still... It was that old school kind of...
It reminded me of Eye of the Beholder style. It was because you had to go around from like square to square.
Eye of the Beholder or any of the Might and Magic. Not Heroes of Might and Magic, but the actual Might and Magic where you have your heroes on the bottom bar and you're moving one square at a time in a maze type of environment, which was actually something that when I was at the school Full Sail with Dave Arneson, one of the classes that we had was OpenGL. And I created a maze or map editor that basically built stuff just like the Mordor 1 and Mordor 2, and you could actually go into first person view and move through it just like that.
Now, of course, one of the cool things on Mordor, and we're talking 20 years ago, it was online play.
Yep.
Like, you could, like, somehow magic 20 years ago, you could, like, all come to the same server and see where other people were moving concurrently at the same time. And I remember people, like, chat, and, like, I remember if you died, people could, like, come and help you and, like, resurrect you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that was a fun game. Middle or Shadow of Mordor is a great game, too, because that's what keeps on coming up.
Yeah. I
wish I remember like what it was like Depths of Mordor or something like that.
Depths of something. Of something. Depths of Dejinal. Dejinal.
Oh, there it is. Yep.
Mordor Depths of Dejinal. It was released in 1995.
That's right. Demise.
That's what it was called. Demise Rise of Khutan.
Yep. That rings a bell. Wow.
Man, that was a good game.
Yeah, it brings back some memories, man.
Oh, memories.
But anyways, again, that's a game that kind of like
Blackmore.
Blackmore 2. It might not really have much to do with the game, but the fact that it's using that name and obviously trying to get some kind of inspiration out of it.
Right.
It could definitely be in line for the Banhammer.
So, well, I mean, the thing is, like, look, if you if if you take on like a, if you do a fan project, a sci-fi fantasy fan project, so like Lord of the Rings or the Prydain Chronicles, which is like the Black Cauldron and all that stuff, or the Wheel of Time or the Great Book of Amber, and you make an RPG out of that, that's not gonna work very. I wonder though, if you were to make a like a romance dating sim, would anyone really come after you for the Great Book of Amber?
But it, maybe. But it all, as usual, it comes down to what are you trying to do. So in this game, Blackmoor, it's on the iOS. So I'm assuming somewhere in there, there's be it, I don't know, microtransactions or something to make money, right? So that's, you know, kind of like we talked about last week, where we're talking about like fan art and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's usually when it starts to cross that threshold of we're just going to kind of ignore it to, that's just games we love.
Yeah, they took screenshots of basically all of their like game stores, which is just weird. Don't do that. Offers and app purchases.
Yeah. It's, hey, man, it's got 4.6 stars.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I'm going to be totally honest with you. You know, you have to be quite a nerd to know that Blackmoor, the module from Dungeons and Dragons, actually exists. It's not a, you know, it's not a well known thing. When you think Dungeons and Dragons, you might think Dragonlance or maybe Greyhawk or shit. What's the other one? It's got the dark elf in there.
Oh, Forgotten Realms. Yes. Drizzty.
Yeah, Drizzty. You're not really, Blackmoor's not going to be at the top of your list. So I wonder if they're like, well, it's, you know.
That could be true. Because like Mordor, everybody knows Mordor or is Lord of the Rings. Yep. Whereas only because you told me Blackmoor is related to it.
Dungeons and Dragons.
It's the only reason I know.
Exactly.
So that could be a part of two.
So, I mean, you know.
I could see that.
I mean, if I were to make an RPG, let's see here. I'm looking at my my shelf of books. Oh, gosh. Well, I know I'd get screwed because I know the person who created this, but let's just say I made a survival office game called Murders and Acquisitions.
Ooh. What if you called it Acquisitions and Murders?
Acquisitions and Murders Incorporated.
There you go.
Murderous Acquisitions Incorporated.
What about Mergers and Bludgeoning?
Acquisitional murders.
Ooh.
No, and
murderous acquisitions.
But I mean, here's the deal. At the end of the day, there unfortunately or fortunately, depends on who you are, there is a bit of wiggle room for how long you're going to be able to get away with something. Sometimes, you know, when we were talking about fan art last week, you're probably not going to have Nintendo breathing down your neck because you sold 50 prints of your own interpretation of Pikachu.
Yep.
Now, if you're selling like 50,000 of them, you're probably going to have a problem. So when you have a digital distribution platform like iOS, Android, and the Switch, and probably PC as well, that, I don't know, that kind of gets into like murky water where I would try to distance myself from anything that would cause any type of like confusion.
But it's amazing how people will basically copy any kind of work that exists. So for instance, Overwatch. There's a Overwatch, it's totally free. It's not like it even has an income source. Mm-hmm. A guy made basically what's it exactly called? It's called, I think, Overwatch Performance Tracker or something like that. Mm-hmm. And people have basically developed it, like basically taping its code and copied it and try to pass it off. Then they try to take it and pass it off on their own. It's not even like it's like their money associated, but people just, I guess
they want their fame.
Yeah, they want their fame of like, and people like will post videos on YouTube acting like they're the ones who created it. And he's like, why? Like, it's not even, it's like a moneymaker. It's like he doesn't have a labor of love, and well, people are trying to pass just, it off on their own.
It's an expertise show. I mean, it's literally like, look how awesome I am because I can do this black magic in the game. Just don't look too far because you'll find out that I had nothing to do with it.
Hmm.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's so many games that basically are carbon copies of each other, but you have people that are smart enough to change the name or they change the color scheme or something like that. That's why you have a genre called Metroidvania.
Thankfully.
Literally,
yep.
You put a space theme in there. It's Metroid. Put a like medieval, dark age, like fantasy, vampires and dragons. It's Castlevania. But you could call it whatever you want to when you switch out a couple of, you know, pixels and shit. And they're not going to come after you because, you know, well, it's a platformer fighting game where you get power-ups and different areas open up on the map when you have special abilities to open special doors.
And you probably don't want to, like, maybe copy, like, the exact sprite of Samus.
Oh,
that would probably not go well.
Well, actually, or, and you know, this is actually a really good question. What if you were to actually create a game? Change out the look of the game, but if your map was exactly like Castlevania 3 or Metroid, but you literally just put your own like
scheme to the colors, yeah,
but it plays just like it. It's got all the enemies the same place, the power ups the same place. I wonder. It would be kind of tough, but at the same time, it's curious. I mean, you know, it's something that food for thought.
It's definitely that gray area.
And there's a shit ton of gray area when it comes to fan projects or people trying to make a quick buck. I mean, you can look at all those. Now, of course, you got a lot of companies platform providers like Steam, Epic, Apple, Android, and all those other ones who are finally having to really step up the fight against clone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you still have those people out there like, well, I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to throw this out there and I'll make some money because people will get confused.
Make some money before it's too late.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a gentleman out there who his whole deal is he watches shows like Shark Tank and he sees cool ideas and then he mocks up real quick, goes to a cheap Chinese warehousing deal. They build it. He sells it to everybody before all the patents and trademarks are signed. As soon as that does, he gets a, you know, cease and desist. And he goes, cool.
Okay.
Because he already made his money.
He made his quick buck already.
Exactly. And it's more of a quick, I mean, it's quick couple thousand, 100,000.
It's kind of a genius, actually.
Yeah.
He's kind of douchebaggy, but ingenious.
Well, the last time I heard, I mean, I haven't been tracking this guy down, but the reason why he came on my radar was because he, as soon as he heard about the fidget cube, he like made a shit ton of money off that because the real fidget cube. I don't have a real fidget cube. I've got one at work. I've got actually that guy's
the knockoff version.
Yeah, knockoff.
And it's clearly inferior to the real fidget cube.
Actually, parts of it aren't.
I feel like it is.
But anyways, you got those people out there who do that. Yeah. I mean. Until you're told no, people are going to do stuff because money rules everything.
Money equals money?
Money makes the world go round.
Money equals money.
Money equals money, which equals money, which equals money, which equals power.
Whoa.
Which makes the world go round.
That's like extra special transitive property of money.
Model. But yes.
I feel like I need to start singing some Pink Floyd. Money.
No, we need the old school
cash register.
Yeah. Cha-ching. We can't do it without that.
Cha-ching.
That's just not the same. But anyways,
I'm sorry, man. I've tried.
I'm sorry. So anyways, Zelius, you been playing anything?
No. Cells.
Cells on the
stupid clicker game that Charlie got me into.
Because it's so simple. And you feel good about introducing new species to the world.
Well, I do like that it's a little bit different. I played a lot of clickers over the years. And they're all like in the same vein as basically Hero Clicker. Where basically you have like your main character. Mm-hmm. And you just click and then you defeat enemies. And you just kind of scroll by and you get to a boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've all done those.
Yep.
It sells to Singularity. It's a clicker game. It's an IO game. And you still click to go faster, or you can sit there idle and let it do stuff.
Yep.
But you go up like tech trees, basically, to unlock future stuff.
You know, I think one of the reasons why you probably really, really enjoy this game is that this is probably like, it's kind of the evolutionary track of like a Civ game.
It is. It's got that. It's got the sciencey part, which I am. Like, so it has like the thematic things, which I am naturally drawn to from like an education standpoint. So I found this, and they even have like this like little snippets below of, they'll tell you like little factually about the Neolithic area when they unlock it. So just little fun things like that. And there is, you know, they also have the carrot approach where, you know, the more you unlock, the faster you get money. And then you do the whole, like most clicker games, you have some kind of reset mechanism eventually.
Right.
And then you go super fast to unlock everything. So it's just, it's an enjoyable little clicker game. I like it. It's a different take on the genre.
So I've been playing that game. I've also been playing another game. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm going to read it to you real quick here. It is, the hell is it called? It's called Idle Heroes.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's played Idle Heroes, and I just kind of want to dip my toe into that pond. And I have to say, the thing that pisses me off about Idle Heroes, and to be honest with you, a ton of like idle clicker games,
sure,
is that let's say that you put all your resources and just making your character party just like badass, and like everybody outside of like your five or your six party members, they're total trash.
Okay,
but there's a game mechanic in there that only allows you to advance through the game when your overall level hits a certain number. So I've got a party that could rip everyone a new one, but I'm level 63 and I have to be level 65 to open up this next stage, which is just ridiculous. I can't go any faster. So all I got to do, I log in, I go, nope, I haven't got enough experience, and then I log out because I can't do anything.
Artificial barriers, because then they make you want to buy microtransactions to go faster, sir.
There's no microtransaction to add to get that type of XP. The only microtransactions are to get more money and more of the green goo that allows you to level up your characters, which I don't need because they're already max leveled. I need the ability to get up two more levels so I can actually advance the game.
But yeah, I played Idle Heroes a lot.
And the other thing, I mean, this is the same thing for all idle games. They also give you, you know, they sucker you in. The first bit, you know, first couple hours is fast.
Yep.
And you're improving your characters fast, and you're opening so many pieces of the game, and then
you hit a wall,
and it's a hard one.
Well, what ended up happening too in a lot of games like Idle Heroes, I think I actually still have my phone if I remember right, is there comes a point where if you... Oh no, AFK Arena was the last one I played. But there comes a point where unless you're basically willing to invest like at least a half hour into the game every day, you will not progress. Because they'll have like, you have to try your campaign once, you have to do your Tower of Oblivion twice, you have to do the PvP.
The problem is I can't do the campaign because... that's locked.
No, I'm saying
so. I can't even do that stupid daily achievement.
Oh. But you can do a previous. Can you do a previous? But
no.
You can attempt it. Oh, because
no,
you're level
locked. No, I can't
because
it's passed.
Okay, that's annoying.
It is annoying. I'm like, at least let me redo it or something.
But that, yeah. So, though I played so many of those. And the problem with those, like the AFK Arena, is they all become clones of each other.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
So there's a ton of those, like AFK Arenas.
The what's that same mind thing. Magic one? What was the the hell's it called?
Air of Chaos.
Yeah, Air of Chaos.
Yeah, that's an okay one. The only thing I like about Air of Chaos versus most idle, not idle clicker games, but like idle games, is you have like your five characters and you just kind of sit there and you can't really do a whole lot. You might be able to press a special ability once in a while, but that's about it. I like Air of Chaos because it's actually like a battle grid. So you actually kind of get to choose where to deploy your heroes to fight. So there is some actual strategy there. Versus AFK Heroes and those, it's like you have to use these characters.
Okay, but here's... okay, so you try to do little like tweaks and stuff in every single like idle or clicker game.
Sure.
The one thing that's a little bit kind of weird for me when it comes to Era of Chaos is that you send... your hero and characters on these like missions, right?
Yes, the ship,
yes.
Yeah,
but I still have access to them elsewhere in the game.
That's just a nice thing.
But
that
I've sent them away. So, like, did I really send them away?
Don't overthink it.
I know. I'm just saying. You know, I'm OCD. So I mean, this is crap I come up with.
I'm trying to remember like the original idle game. There was this. I can't remember what it's called.
It's progress the, quest.
Yes. Yes, thank you. It's driving me nuts. I've been thinking about like the last 10 minutes.
But dude, I have it on a jump drive somewhere.
Can you imagine like what level you'd be at now if you'd still been playing for the last like 15 years?
Dude, it'd be epic.
I wonder if it still actually exists.
It does. It does. I picked it up. I was able to download it like a couple years ago, and nice. I was running off my jump drive because you're not allowed to install anything on the computers. But you can run it off the...
Well, if they locked it down correctly, you wouldn't be able to run an EXE off of a jump drive either.
Apparently, they didn't lock it down successfully.
Ugh. Somebody needs to work on their Active Directory skills.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I also utilize tools that that require, you know, that I could install on my machine, but they don't allow me to, so I run it all through a jump drive, which is a screen reading software.
Wait, but you need that for your job.
Yes, but this is the free version. The one that's actually paid by from my company, they're actually on virtual machines. But sometimes those virtual machines are not available, so I have a fallback in a free screen reader that basically does the exact same thing. There's just a couple different hotkeys.
Yep, I gotcha. Makes sense.
So, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I basically been playing Cells and Era of Chaos and whatever the hell the other game was. Idle Heroes or something.
Well, for us, our once... school started up. We were hitting the robotic season back in high gear because we have our league championship in 2 weekends.
Nice.
So for us, it's nonstop robotics.
Dun, dun, dun.
The game of real life robots, not these fake amateur cellular robots of bits and bytes.
So what exactly does your robot have to do this year?
So the major gist of this year is you have these yellow... basically they're Legos, but they're, if I remember right, 3 inches wide by 6 inches long by 3 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they even have like the little stubs like Legos.
Yep.
And basically you pick them up and basically stack them on what's the equivalent of a waffle board. It looks like a giant waffle board, literally.
So basically like a big Lego board.
Yeah, so you're basically stacking it on the, we call it a waffle board, at least I do.
Whatever, waffle, and, Lego.
And you you basically, the object is to stack it on there, which is harder than it sounds.
Oh yeah.
So yeah,
you're a little bit off.
Well, and like trying to grip a very slippery plastic piece to then like lift and having to extend out a couple of inches without it like having any slippage, because like front, like they always have like extremely specific rules, like you cannot do this, like you cannot, like an easy one would be like, well, just launch it onto the board, right? That seems like an easy strategy. Well, that's against the rules. You can't like launch anything.
What's that stuff that football players are no longer allowed to put on their gloves?
Stick 'em.
Yeah, stick 'em.
Stuff like that is definitely outlawed.
Aww.
Now, there's a very clear rule against having any kind of like liquids or gels or anything like that.
Any slightly adhesive material. Yeah,
you know, they might. Well, part of it is, so part
how
of
about
the
spit.
Okay, Nolan Ryan. Part of it is you do have to go through like an inspection process where like they see, is your robot like legal, basically? Like, do you basically put stick'em on your robot to
shoe polish?
But the question is, does the judge always notice?
Pine tar.
Because, or if you want to be really sneaky, not that advice doing this, this goes against the ethos of robotics.
Vaseline.
Is you can always put it on after like you go through inspections.
Like, oh no, it's dirty.
Now, they might notice when you basically have, like, a piece of metal that's able to, like, hold on to these plastic pieces. It might be a little bit questionable then. Like, wait, how is that actually, like, you're defying the laws of physics.
Hold on, what is that? You got two pieces of metal that's supposed to come together, but one's not touching the brick, but the brick still stick.
That's a really cool strategy. Yeah. I wish we had thought of that.
Yes. But, yeah, no, yeah. That sounds fun.
The other cool thing is the kids have to learn how to do vision tracking with the camera. So they have to like decipher basically the equivalent of QR codes on the fly with the robot to make it do specific things.
You know what I find hilarious? Sam Gransel! He always has to lube up his robot.
Ooh.
That is inappropriate, sir.
You're in our robot shit talk in a room.
Hey now. No, shit, I was going to say something. Then Sam just derailed my thought.
Was it about lube?
No, it's not about lube.
Was it about salmon lube?
No. Shit. It had something to do with... What the fuck did it have to do with? Gosh darn it. Mother effer. I don't remember anymore.
I don't know either.
Nah, nah.
Sam, were you at chess tonight?
No, the chess club closed, man.
Oh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm. It is very sad. Shit, what was I going to say? God
Dang it, Zelius.
That's Sam's fault. I'm not taking the flack for something.
You should have been listening to me to help me put myself back on track.
I can't listen to something you never said.
I was saying something to lead up to something. If you could just remind me of like the last like 8 words that I had said previously, I probably would have been able to.
You said, gosh darn it, son of a mother.
That was after I got derailed. I need before I was derailed.
Oh, yeah. The rails have left the track.
Yeah, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully starting Sunday, I will be back to my Sunday, Tuesday streaming schedule.
Do you have any idea what game you're going to play on Sunday yet?
Hell if I know. And to be honest with you, it could be a PC game, could be a Switch game. That's probably the two platforms. Or if I'm feeling really bored, I could find that weird-ass plug-in that I can then Airstream my phone to the computer.
Ooh.
Which has had some weird mixed results last time I had it there. But
interesting.
Indeed.
One way to try out, right, sir?
Yeah, if I have time.
Time is all we have. What else is there?
Death. Time you don't have?
Fantastic.
Life?
Is there life?
The American way?
What is the American way?
God, I have no idea.
Does God know?
Probably not.
Does anyone truly know anything?
Hell of a no. Shit. Damn it, Zelius, you keep getting me further and further sidetracked. The hell was I going
to
say?
I don't know. You're the one who just switched to a different tab.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to, like, boggle my memory. I'm doing something. Jog my memory. That's
there
it.
Right
there. Joggle my memory. Good Lord. Can you see that I have slight sleep deprivation?
Why are you depriving your sleep?
Life, man. Life.
What did life ever do to you?
Kicked me in the nuts and then stomped me in the face and then teabagged me.
That sounds rather unfortunate.
That's life.
I would avoid life then. Sounds like life is beating you up, sir.
So let me just rewind here. I did, at the beginning of the show, I talked about a Netflix show, and I really, really want everyone to like jump on board as soon as this comes out, and that, of course, is Lock and Key. I've got all the graphic novels, all 6 of them. They are phenomenal. Phenomenal.
That's a cool-looking lock.
It is. You should read all of them. I've also been going on like a graphic novel, like... I'm ODing on graphic novels. I've basically read all of Saga, all of Chew, all of Hack Slash, all of The Woods. I've read a shit ton of graphic novels as of late.
It says this is to be continued.
Yes, that's the number 5.
Oh, I thought it gave me number 6.
Here's number 6.
Ah, I can finish up the series
tonight. Oh, Christ. He's going to do that thing where you read the last page.
Oh, hey. She's having issues.
Is it really a she?
Oh, no. I see there's human sacrifices.
Hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Wild Zeus is getting lost in that book.
Yeah,
I
would move out of this house.
No, that's not the house. That's the cave.
Yeah, I want no part
at the base of the hill. It's not in the house. It's on the property, but it's not in the house. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, while Zelius is going down this dark, dark, dark rabbit hole, I do want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that you, my friends, can be a part of Alter Confusion in so many ways. If you want to be a patron, you can always join our Patreon page, which of course is, you go to patreon.com/alterconfusion. It is a monthly donation. That donation goes towards anything and everything Alter Confusion related, be it convention costs, podcast hosting costs, which, by the way, I actually posted... our first episode of the Thursday Hangout from the beginning of the year, and I will do so going ahead. I'm actually giving them unique titles.
Hooray!
So be on the lookout. But if you're looking for your podcast fix for the Alter Confusion Thursday Night Hangout, it's podbean.com/alterconfusion. I need to check to make sure that I've changed the location for iTunes. I don't remember if I've done that or not, but... of course, you can always go to see the interviews as well. Of course, all our videos get placed on YouTube.com/AlterConfusionLLC. I know that for the last chunk of last year, I basically said, F it. If you don't catch us live on YouTube, I'm not going to give you the video, but if I'm going to be editing it for podcasts, I might as well just hit the extra button to do the video as well. So that'll be on YouTube. And of course, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's AltaConfugio. That's AltaConfugio without the N, because the N would break the internet.
Don't break the internet!
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow us on Facebook, which is actually one of the three ways you can watch a Thursday Night Hangout every single Thursday night, and that is Facebook.com/AltaConfusion. The three different ways or paths to enlightenment of the Thursday Night Hangout, of course, is Twitch.tv/AltaConfusion, Facebook.com/AltaConfusion, or YouTube.com/AltaConfusionLLC. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not feel that you are up to doing a monthly donation to AltaConfusion, which of course starts at the bare minimum of $1 and then goes up to whatever you wish to pledge per month, you can always do a one-time donation if that's the route you want to go. There's a Donate Now button on our Twitch feed. If you're not watching on Twitch, all you got to do is go to www.alteredconfusion.com, and on the left-hand side, you will see a Donate Now button, and that will allow you to go straight to our PayPal account, and you can put whatever numerical nomination that you want. If you're not looking to give us some money, but you want to give us something physical, like you want us to showcase a coffee cup, a weird-ass energy drink,
any Mountain Dew.
Funko Pops, Mountain Dew, whatever.
What if you send cash here?
You can send cash here if you really want to. Donate, people! Zelius needs a raise!
Damn straight! Can you get a raise from nothing?
Yes.
Oh.
Nothing plus nothing. I could double it.
I thought we were going to be multiplicative.
Fine. Nothing to the power of 10.
Exactly!
Uh-huh. So anyways, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to send or mail us something, all you got to do is send all your stuff to 1551 Dunwoody, that's D-U-N-W-O-O-D-Y, Village Parkway, number, this is super duper 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 important, number 88276, which is the actual number of the P.O. box. If you do not include this, it will go to the post office proper, and it will be returned to you within 2 to 3 business days. Of course, the city is Dunwoody, D-U-N-W-O-O-D-Y.
Or what Georgia, Sam said.
30338.
There you go.
Now, I have not received any Funko Pops as of late, so whomever my mysterious
yourself
benefactor was, dude, if it was me, I'd still be sending shit to me.
Or you got caught.
No.
No, you did not. Oh, you didn't get caught, so you just outed yourself.
No.
Yep. You just took responsibility.
No.
Yep.
Let's see here. The last Funko Pop I got was from Zelius, which is Demona from Gargoyles.
Feeding the addiction.
And the one previous to that is a Chewbacca.
You know what?
No idea where
that. You know what needs to have reboot?
What?
Gargoyles.
I would be down for that.
Not a reboot. A rejuvenation.
Revitalization.
Yes.
Remastering. There's the word you're looking for.
Let's continue the saga of Gargoyles.
Reawakening.
Reawaken the Gargoyle.
But could you get Jonathan Franks to join back in to be part of the voice cast?
They should just hire you instead.
I don't sound anything like Riker.
Oh, well, I can't top you then. What if you had a voice modulator?
Maybe. I don't know.
There you go. You should get one installed.
Interesting.
It should be a Christmas.
If you want me to have a voice modulator, why don't you donate some money to AltaConfusion?
Or just send it to the P.O. box.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I do know that there are a lot of people out there going, well, I'm donating money to AltaConfusion, but I don't see anything. Or I'm interested in donating to AltaConfusion, but I want some like actual way to see that I've made a difference.
You see us.
You see us, yes, of course. And there are a couple of options that I've been trying to toy around with, and I'm very open to suggestions of maybe trying to send those who donate something from AltaConfusion.
A brain doodle.
A brain doodle is definitely at the top of the list, because I know that I keep getting asked about it, but here's all the brain doodles I have to date. They're all unique. There's not a single one that's the same.
Unless they're all the same.
They're not.
That'd be awesome if they were.
They're not, though. I could.
They look the same to me.
Yes, they're all three-dimensional. How about that? And they're all drawn in pen.
What kind of pen?
A Bic Click 2.
Ooh.
It's the only pen I use.
That's the pen of choice for Charlie?
Yes. I'm OCD, damn it. I have certain needs, okay?
And your needs are many.
I need a specific pen, and I need a specific Mountain Dew concoction in order to get through my day. Otherwise...
Is that how it normally goes anyways?
No.
No?
No, because I have a plethora of my favorite type of pen in several different colors.
So what happened if those like all disappeared one day?
I've got boxes in reserve.
Just in case.
I've got a couple at work. I just bought a new box of like the variety pack. So
you're set?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a plethora of piñatas?
See?
Jefe, do you know what a plethora of piñatas is?
No, El Guapo. You are so much wiser and smarter than I.
The Three Amigos.
I love that movie.
I know. You quote it.
Look at me. Look at me. Hey.
Never actually seen it.
Oh, it's a great movie. It's got Steve Martin. It's got Chevy Chase. It's got Martin Short. They are
the Three Amigos.
They're three like banditos for a movie set for movies, and this small poor town, I think it's in Mexico, thinks that they're the real deal. So they send a telegraph saying you need to protect us, and they go thinking that it's going to be a show. That shit's real, and El Guapo is the real super duper like bad guy.
Nice.
Yes. Top 10 greatest comedies of all time. You must see it, Zelius. You'll thank us. It's great. To be honest with you, I love Three Amigos. And I would also... I know that in today's day and age, it's you would never see this movie being made, but you have to see Blazing Saddles. By Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles. Phenomenal movie.
I like Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is too, as well. Or Young Frankenstein. Or Funkenstein.
Robin Hood. Men in Tights.
That's just fun.
It's just a fun movie.
It's fun. But The Three Amigos is awesome. I mean, I'm just...
Someday. There's many days.
Mm-hmm.
Are they on Amazon?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I've never ever seen them on.
But speaking of shows, I have finally watched every single episode of a anime called Big O.
I thought you were going to finally see The Witcher.
No. We already talked about it at the beginning of the episode. I haven't watched a single episode because I... It's too mature for me to be watching it on the public. I can't watch it at work.
Well, it's not my fault you work with prudes.
For the love of God. Anyway, so I finally watched all of Big O. Big O was released in 2002. So can I? Am I still under spoilers here?
I don't know what the show is, so go for it.
All right, so it's an anime where.
Whoa! Spoiler! It's an anime.
Okay.
It's a little much.
Okay.
A little much.
It is a show.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That has people.
I don't know. Can I push the boundaries?
In a place of living.
Okay, so they're not
some
in
may
a,
call it town or
so they're
city.
not in the afterlife.
No.
Okay.
Well.
Oh. Okay, continue.
Okay, so anyways, Big O is basically, it starts off with this gentleman by the name of Roger Smith. He is called the negotiator. He's basically the guy that the cops call in every single time that they have to negotiate with, like, bad guys.
Sure.
And the super secret, don't tell anyone, is that Roger Smith also pilots something called Big O, which is this huge-ass, like, robot that will just beat the crap. I mean, will defend the city. And, of course, wreck the fucking shit out of the city. But he'll defend the city.
That's part of the fun.
And, of course, in this city, which is called Paradox City, everyone has lost their memory. So they also call it the town of amnesia or something like that. And some of, like, the illegal activity is these people trying to find a way to collect fragmented dreams so they gain the knowledge to be smarter and to find out what happened before, because you have all this like advanced stuff, but no one knows how the hell it came to be or how to take care of it and all that stuff.
You know, I always wonder. So, like, the show, like 100, for instance, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. It's basically a post-apocalyptic television series set like hundreds of years in the future, nuclear apocalypse, and yet there's like cars that still work. And I'm always like, where are they getting gasoline for these cars? Especially after like some of the events that happen. I'm like, okay, at least like in previous seasons, I could maybe be like, okay, they probably figured out maybe I had to steal some gasoline, okay. But then like certain things happen, and like there's no effing way this person's ever finding gas for that car anywhere based on events that have happened. It's just impossible. It things like that happen where I'm just like,
okay, so
or like the technology still works.
Big O is still is a little bit better than that. They're like, no one really understands what the
But that's interesting to me though, because like that's what kind of bothers me about the 100 is like stuff works that really shouldn't, and people really shouldn't know how to do some of the stuff.
Well,
but the fact that they don't, and they have to figure it out, it's kind of a fascinating concept.
It's like for though you don't remember what your life was 40 years prior to whatever big ass event happened. However, those people who may not have memories, they may still have an expertise of doing a specific thing.
Yeah.
Like if you were a,
carpenter.
A carpenter. You lost all your memories, but, you know, as you're trying to regain your life, you're like, holy shit, I could actually do this.
Yeah.
So you got that. Now, of course, most of Big O... that people could see if you want to go the dubbed version is only the first season. There's two seasons, and the second season gets really fucking weird.
Did they ever try to figure out like why they lost their memory?
Yeah, they find out.
Okay, I was just curious.
So
that's a thing. So there is that part of like what happened.
Yes.
Okay.
But at the same time, you're like, what the fuck?
Is that like for season three?
No. They reveal it and there's resolution at the end of season two.
Okay, cool.
So, you know, it wraps it up, and you know, you could continue the story. There's no reason to continue the story, just if you like the characters. But they give you at the end of season two, your mind is basically
A manga that finishes up or anime that's what I liked. Did you ever watch Kill la Kill?
Yes,
I really liked it because like you got to the end of it, and like okay, it could have continued, but it also had resolution. So it's like, it was a good ending.
It's kind of like Trigun or Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, so I like when you actually get an ending where, you know, maybe someday there could be another one, but at least what you got is a good ending.
How about this? I'm going to explain this to you. I'm not going to give you any specifics.
Okay.
But just imagine. A city, modern day, maybe a little bit more advanced city.
Like the Jetsons.
No, not like the Jetsons. They're still driving cars and all that stuff.
Okay.
Just got big ass robots.
Cool.
A couple of big ass robots. Now, let's kind of give it the Truman Show effect.
Oh.
And that's Big O.
Interesting. Okay. I dig it.
It's good. I mean, I'll fully admit it's a good show.
What platform was it on?
The movie?
No, like what digital distribution service?
Blu-ray.
Oh, it's actually like physical media.
Yeah, you can't find the second season unless you own the actual.
Physical media, you noob.
Unless you want to watch it subbed. I mean, that's the only way to watch it through. If you want to just watch it subbed, you can watch the entire series on Verve or Crunchyroll.
I don't really watch enough anime to care one way or the other.
My deal is if you start with one,
I'm
going to stick with that.
Because then you get the weird voice changeover if you go from one to the other.
Yeah.
That's what throws me off. Like, I watched season one of Fairy Tail on Netflix, which is all dubbed.
But you can hear the voices.
No, it's dubbed. It's all in English.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So that's dubbed, right?
Yep.
But then you get like a certain, like these characters should sound a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like I started trying to watch season two where it's back to being subbed, like the original version.
Yep.
And you hear like the original, I'm like, like these are not the characters I know.
No, that's my issue with a lot of the international shows on Netflix is that I got really into them. Of course, when they first appear on Netflix, they're appearing in their original language, be it Polish or Russian or French. And so you're in the mood for subtitles. Now, of course, you're not going to have, you know, usually when they throw those international ones on, they probably only give you the first season, but there's going to be a second season soon. My problem is that when the second season comes, it automatically defaults to the dub, not the sub. And I don't remember off the top of my head that I watched the first one in sub, and I'm scratching my head going, but it sounds nothing like I remember.
Nice.
And they're like, oh, that's because I was watching subtitled.
So, season twos, that is why I'm actually waiting to get Disney Plus.
For Mandalorian season two?
Or just in general to build up their catalog of multiple seasons.
I've heard there's been some issue with, like they are Disney properties, but they're not, like, appearing and disappearing. I don't know.
Yeah, they've already lost, like, the rights to some of the stuff that they originally had on there or something. I don't know. Okay. It's like, I mean, I'm just waiting a while for Disney Plus just for it to become, like, when they start getting, like, the Marvel shows, like, from the Scarlet Witch and the...
couple seasons in.
Yeah, a couple seasons of the show, so you can binge, basically, a couple seasons of these, what are, sounds like are really good shows. It's kind of like...
In theory.
Well, I think...
Everything sounds good in theory.
I mean, Mandalorian is universally appraised as a good series, so I'm going to assume it's good.
Was Gary Whitta a part of Mandalorian? I feel like he was.
I have no idea.
And if he is, then I have to join in. Let's see.
I mean, Gary, is that all it takes? Is
Gary Whitta is the bomb, diggity man. Let's see here. Screenwriting.
Why do you think he'd be a part of it?
Because I feel like he said that he was...
I don't know.
I don't know, maybe not.
I mean, I still hear it's great.
Oh, he was the writer on Rogue One.
Ah, which explains why Rogue One was good.
The Book of Eli.
Yeah, I like Book of Eli. It was a good movie.
And he also wrote a book called, what's the name of the book? It's over there somewhere. They don't have it in his damn...
profile?
Wikipedia profile.
Huh? Well, that's just crazy talk.
Abomination, which is a phenomenal book. I got it through... It's kind of like Kickstarter, but for authors. It's like Ink something. Anyways, great book. You should definitely check it out. Zelius, I think you actually really like Abomination.
Interesting.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, I believe we've basically reached the end of our show. I do want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Ultra Confusion Thursday Night Hangout. You, of course, can find us here on either twitch.tv/AlterConfusion, facebook.com/AlterConfusion, or youtube.com/AlterConfusionLLC every single Thursday night from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to about 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, ladies and gentlemen, for myself, Charlie, and Zelius, it's been a pleasure giving you everything coming out of our heads, our mouths, and, of course, our hearts. We'll be back next Thursday for another AlterConfusion Thursday Night Hangout.
And remember, kids, keep on gaming in the free world.
Amen to that, brother.